Club, a podcast brought to you by Houston Moms Blog. HMB is passionate about our community and the moms who live here, just like you. Our goal is to make this big city that we live in feel just a bit smaller. So we invite you to tune in every week to hear about all things motherhood, get a glimpse of the latest events, and all the fun activities happening around town. So go ahead, reheat that coffee, put your feet up, and join us as we cover the gamut of this crazy job we have all elected to take on and been blessed with, to be called mom.
So today we have Brittany Brownlee joining us. She is one of the contributors to H&B and wrote a fantastic post called Hindsight, the importance of scattered Legos and coffee dates. We are thrilled to welcome her to the Cold Coffee Club. Brittany, good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. So what I think I would love to ask you, tell us a little bit about you and what your family looks like before we dive into this great post.
Okay. So we are fairly new to Houston. We've been here about 2 years, relocated from Amsterdam, where we were for almost 3 years. I have two children. One was born in Louisiana in New Orleans, and the other one was born in Amsterdam. So kind of a worldly family, love to travel, and we're very much enjoying being back in the States. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. I write in my spare time. And just enjoying being in Houston.
Perfect. And how old are your kiddos?
My son is 5 and my daughter is 3.
Good. And did I detect a little Cajun, a little Louisiana situation in your accent?
You certainly did. Yes, I was born in Louisiana. I'm very proud Cajun and love sharing that with my children.
I love it. For anyone who knows me, I went to LSU, so I have a huge heart for any fellow Louisiana who's been transplanted to Houston. So we are so excited to have you. Brittany has been a part of the contributors team, and she's one of our newest ones for about the last 9 months. And so she continues to write these posts that not only are hilarious in some respects, and there's a lot of levity in them, but they go so deep. And after that, I hope you will go and read this post as we dive into this, because I think it's something that relates to so many moms, and that's exactly why we wanted to have you on today. So Brittany, speaking in that, why do you think this post, the importance of scattered Legos and coffee dates, resonated so much with moms, not only in Houston, but nationwide?
I think that in this particular post, every mom kind of saw themselves in it, because we're all trying to do our best. But no matter how hard we try, every day there's going to be some kind of mom guilt or some kind of issue or thing that you think you could have done better, a better job at. And we're just trying our best here. I think everyone's trying their best. We want the best for our kids. We want the best for ourselves. And trying to do it all just falls flat sometimes. So I think in a good way, this post was able to reach a lot of people that probably felt the same way and didn't know how to express that, or just wanted to hear someone else say, hey, it's really hard. And I'm just trying to make it through the day and keep my kids happy and be a loving mom.
Right. So it's kind of like that, like, hey, me too situation. Like,
definitely
happening over here with me. So in that, what would you tell a mom? So we talk about in your post, you talk about going to a coffee shop and what have you. What would you tell a mom who is in that massive guilt phase? Because that's where you were in this post. So like, what, now that you're on the flip side, at least for today, what would you tell that mom who's sitting there and feels like she's failing at this thing?
Well, first thing I would say, which I try to say as often as I can, is again, you're not alone in feeling that. We all feel that way. And for me, all the things I talk about in the post actually did happen, and they do happen very often. You mentioned the coffee shop example. I go to coffee shops all the time with both my kids, but on this particular day, it was just my daughter, and I was overwhelmed from a hard morning, and I did not want to be busy at that moment. I did not want to be engaging with anyone, much less my child, who I love so much. But at that moment, I needed a break. And because I can't just say, hey, I'm taking a break, I'm going to go run over there, you stay here and, you know, as a three-year-old, just chill. Can't do that. So for me, just kind of piecing out and giving her a toy to play with at the coffee shop and scrolling kind of mindlessly on my phone, that was my break. And where the mom guilt is with that is I'm so aware of what everyone else might be thinking, and I'm sure they're not thinking anything bad, but I'm so nervous someone's looking at me and saying, oh, look at that mom, not even paying attention to her child. So that's what I'm thinking the whole time. In reality, no one's probably thinking that, and my daughter isn't worried. She's so content playing next to mama, asking me questions when she has them, and probably doesn't even notice that I'm not being as engaging as I can and just sitting there. She just sees a mom that's with her, that's spending time and, you know, bought her milk.
Right.
So I would say just enjoy being with your child, but also enjoy that downtime you've been given, even if it is just, you know, scrolling through Instagram or sending a text message to a friend. That can be your time too. It does not have to be this huge, you know, entertainment or teachable moment for your child. It can just be being and just being there with her. So enjoy it and don't worry so much.
I think that's so interesting that you said, you know, teachable moments. I feel like that's such a buzzword of our generation. So given that, is that, I mean, in your opinion, do you think that's a product a little bit of social media and how we see stuff on Pinterest and Instagram? You know, I have to think of what happened when our moms were raising kids. I don't know. How much do you think contemporary society plays into that?
Oh my gosh. I think it absolutely contributes. I mentioned just now how I was mindlessly scrolling through Instagram. Well, I'm looking at, you know, goofy memes and, you know, ridiculous stuff for a dream house that I might have one day. I try very hard to avoid a lot of, you know, just that perfect Pinterest lifestyle, because it's fun to glance at, but you can get so consumed with it. And I know everyone's heard this, but it's all highlight reels. And I had to teach myself very early on in, you know, my motherhood journey that I can't compare my messy life, my day-to-day life that I'm currently in, to someone else's little square on an Instagram that I can view, that, you know, they can perfectly create, you know, any picture they want. So I think that we're not only trying to teach our children the best that we can from just what we want them to learn, now we're also looking at these things that we think they should be learning because we're comparing. And that, and we all have different lives. You know, I think I teach my children things just by living, by going outside and playing a game I used to play when I was little. And that in itself can be a teachable moment, even though it's not literally sitting there and practicing our ABCs. You know, we all learn differently. And I think it's important to realize that we're all different with that.
Right. So it's not necessarily something you can pin, right? So
no.
It's like,
no, I mean,
is it worth doing if you can't pin it?
Exactly. Is it worth doing if it doesn't make a pretty filtered picture? You know, is it, and I guess, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of it myself. I love posting things online. For me, that's almost like therapy. I love sharing with the world. And being a stay-at-home mom, I'm not constantly around adults. So for me, just having, you know, that chance to even just comment with people on various things, that's fun for me. That's an outlet for me. And if I ever feel that that outlet is becoming a negative thing, then it's my turn to step away from it. And I probably do need to go, you know, play a game or do something off of it. But I like being able to control how much I see.
Absolutely. And just because I know you a little bit, I know that you're close with your mom. So given that, you know, I think our moms were probably pretty similar. Mm-hmm. You know, have you had a conversation with your mom to ask her, did she ever feel this way? Did she feel this pressure growing up?
You know, I am very, very close with her. And I'm really happy that you have that impression of me because my mom is amazing. I owe her the world. But you know what? I don't think I've ever had that exact question. I've never asked her that exact question. And I should. I probably should. I know I've asked her, definitely, did she get overwhelmed a lot when she was a young mom and new mom? And she's all I remember of my childhood, which was very, very different than the childhood my kids currently have, was that I just remember happiness. I remember constantly being fulfilled and, you know, using my imagination and reading. And I remember all those things. But when I've talked to my mom about her being overwhelmed, and she's admitted that she definitely was, she has said that, you know, the times we used our imagination were the times that she didn't have anything else for us to do. And she was so worried. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. So, you know, she wasn't buying toys constantly. She wasn't filling us with, you know, things like that. So for her just saying, hey, let's tell each other a story, which are some of my greatest memories, probably why I want to be a writer so badly, was because we would tell stories to each other all the time, making up stories. And that's such a simple thing. And I guess I do that with my children, but I forget that I do that. That's such an easy thing to do. And it probably does mean a lot to them.
That is so, I think what you said there is so key, because you talk about like imagination in your post too. So it's like you're continuing that generation of, you know, making the best of what you have to go along. So if you're having to do dishes, you're singing and you're dancing. I love that. I often just have to think like our moms must have picked up the phone at some point and called a girlfriend, right? And
then absolutely. Like, I mean, I think about that all the time. Like I can't tell you the last time I've actually called someone on the phone, as horrible as that sounds, but yeah. I definitely remember my mom being on the phone, and I remember thinking, you know, how cool she looked on the phone. I remember that as a young girl. So right. I see it as like a negative thing at all. But I also think that screen time and having all this stuff, well, I definitely remember, you know, the TV being on when we were growing up, but I don't remember that. That's not the excitement I remember. I don't remember. I also don't remember ever, you know, feeling like, oh, I'm so bored or anything like that. And I think I'm so constantly aware of my children. I'm always worried that they're bored. I'm worried they're having too much screen time, even though I need them to have screen time sometimes. And then I forget about all the time that we spend outside doing nothing but, you know, staring at the clouds. And that's probably going to be the things they remember the most. But still, all I'm thinking about, you know, half the time is, okay, but did I fill up their day enough? Did I have enough things for them? Honestly, that's not what they're going to remember. That's something I'll dwell on maybe, you know, tonight. But that's not what they're going to remember in the morning.
Right. So in that moment, when you lay your head down at night, and let's say the post, you know, there was a resolution in the post where people often read it, where, you know, it comes full circle where you realize that they realize that it was actually a really good day for them. But what happens, like, how do you cope on the days where you don't get that that recognition? I mean, I don't know if recognition is the right word. I guess that confirmation that their day was not how it looked in your mind. How do you cope with that?
Well, I have definitely had a lot of those days as well. example last night, I had one. We just had a hard day, which led into a hard evening. And I always look forward to, of course, my downtime, which is after the children go to bed. And I'm a bath girl. I like to take a bath. I want bubbles. I want a good book. And I don't want anyone to knock on that door. I always know it's at the end of the night. So if I can just get there. And for me, on those particularly bad days, the days that don't end with an aha moment or just a pat on the back, I remind myself that I have another day to do this, that I did my best and my hardest. And I try very hard to remember at least one thing that I did well, whether that was getting myself to the end of the day and getting myself into that bath. Or if it was, when I picked him up from school today, we spent the whole conversation in the car without the radio on and I asked him about his day. I remembered to do that. Or, I managed to get them both bathed before 8 o'clock, which seldom ever happens. Or you know what? He ate a vegetable. He ate just one little piece of a vegetable, but he ate that. And that was my influence. And I feel good about it. So on the bad days where I don't get the big hug and being told that, you know what, mama, you are a wonderful mom. When he just goes to bed and, it is what it is, I have to remember the good moments. And sometimes trying hard to remember those moments makes you feel even better because you realize that you're searching throughout your day, you find those moments and you're taking that to bed with you. And I think that's important as a mom to have some kind of happiness that you bring into bed with you because you're going to bring a lot into your bed and to fall asleep, at least with a smile. It doesn't always happen, but you try.
Yeah. And glory be to the vegetables, man.
Oh, gosh.
If they took a bite of peas, just let the heavens open, right?
That's a win in my book. I will live off of that high for a week.
I love it. So interestingly enough, that spurred another thought in my mind. Let's say, you're a stay-at-home mom but I think work at home moms, moms across the spectrum can relate to this clearly. Do dads feel this same way? What do you think?
Well, my husband and I are very different creatures. I have pretty high anxiety with most things and he is cool as a cucumber. Nothing gets to this man, which I admire tremendously. So I think in our particular case, we do see things a lot differently, but I know maybe more so with my son, watching my husband with my son, I know that he does take it to heart very, very easily. If he loses his temper in a way that my son says, and maybe it's because my son's a little older and he can express himself more, but when he, clearly shows remorse and says, oh, Dad, I didn't realize I hurt your feelings or I didn't realize what I did was bad. And my husband's always quick to say, I didn't realize what kind of effect I have on him, how when he knows I'm disappointed, his whole world crumbles. And again, it could be like a father-son thing, but I know watching them, it makes me cry if they get in little arguments, but seeing a big, tough guy just break down when he realizes either one of his children have been hurt by his words or just another thing is because he works a lot, they don't see him as often. And now it's getting to the point if he has to go away for work or it's just, they miss a night with him because he had a late meeting, they take it really hard. And then following day, they might not be as open to him or they'll say, well, we never see you anymore. Or I just want to be with mama tonight. And it's a result of not having that connection with him the day before. And I see how it hurts him. So I know he absolutely is affected by, dad guilt in a way. Mm. And for him, it's working dad guilt. But also just, I see it when they cling to me a little more than they cling to him. And that's kind of always how it's been. I know he's also the fun parent. I've been told numerous times that, Mom, I want to cuddle with you, but I want to play with Dad. Dad's I mean, but dad's fun, mom. Yeah. That hurts me. At the same time, I really enjoy it because I'm like, you're right, dad is fun. Go play with him. I'm going to sit right here and drink coffee. So we have our moments. We both do. But I do think there is absolutely something like dad guilt or just working parent guilt. We all feel something. We all have a guilty feeling. We all have it on our hearts when we're not able to give of ourselves fully. And as a parent, I know for my own sanity, I will never be able to fully give 100% of myself to parenting because I'm also a human. I'm also a mother. I'm a writer. I'm a friend. I'm a daughter. I'm all these different wonderful things. And I need that part of me to be me sometimes. I love being a mom. It's just not all I am.
I feel you. And I think that's an interesting take too on dad guilt. I think, you know, we're all human and I think we're all subjective to what social media is saying and how we should feel too. At least that's how we kind of feel over here. So it's interesting. You're like, I'm going to let them go play with dad and I'm going to sit here and drink my coffee. And in my post, you have creative ways of where you store your booze. And it was hilarious.
Oh, so yeah.
Where
am I?
I'm sure there was a little creative liberty, but I mean, we store our booze where.
And see, this is the thing. You think that I might have just said that for the post, and that is absolutely not true because I do hide my booze. I love wine. I know that is such a cliche thing, but I love it with a passion. And for me, it is one glass and that's all I need. I just need that maybe because it's just something I enjoy. But my two places that I've been known to stash is one, like an entire bottle in the bathroom, just in case I pour a glass and I'm taking a bath and you know what? I decide I want another one and I don't want to go downstairs because if I open that door, who knows what child will wander in.
Right.
So I've been known to keep a bottle high up on the shelf. And again, it is just for convenience. But in the post, I do joke that, you know, and I end up hiding from my children at one point, which they, of course, take as hide and seek. We play hide and seek a lot. And as I'm hiding in the closet, which really, really did happen, I am behind the clothes and like have it kind of in front of me. And I'm sitting on like just this box. And that was what I thought. I would say, oh, I can put an entire bottle of wine back here and cups. And they would be perfectly safe. No one would know about this but me. And it's just one of those things. While I was writing this post, which is the funniest thing about this is, you know, I write a lot. I do a lot of posts. You mentioned I've been writing for you guys for 9 months. This was the easiest post I have ever written. I have never been able to just sit down and like my day just came out onto the paper. It happened like that. So this moment had happened right before I wrote this post. And it kind of just flowed. And, you know, it's true. You do what you can. And as a mom, you know, cherish those hiding spots because they're going to get older and they're going to get smarter and they're going to figure it out.
It's a true story because how many of us have hidden in the pantry and like eaten the Halloween candy? Cause you do not want to share.
No, and I'm girl. Like,
I'm sorry, son, that you got all these Twix, but these are actually mine. Because I gave birth to you.
this is your payment. I will take it in chocolate. I'm totally cool with that.
You basically just took the words out of my mouth. I'm like, this is my redemption for the mom guilt for today. So honestly, we're going to kind of end on a lighthearted note, but your post touched me. It touched so many people. Just because it's so relatable and real and it's beautiful. And anything I can say about it is not going to do it justice. I want all of y'all to go read it. And it's truly, and bring tissues please. You're going to need all the tissues for that one. If you are a mom or a dad, as we kind of got into the dad guilt, you will relate to this post. And Brittany, I am so thrilled you could join us today and just share a little bit of deeper insight into your mindset of that day and hopefully bring some comfort to our moms. Of course, you know, our goal is to connect moms and make the city of Houston feel just a little bit smaller. And I think this post accomplished that. So I'm thrilled to know you and have you a part of our team and to have you write this post. So thank you so much for being on today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, until next time, we will see you around Houston. Don't forget to check us out on all of our social media channels. It's the best way to make sure you know what's going on with family-friendly events, great blog posts that you don't want to miss, like Brittany's. That would be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and we're always on doing Insta stories as well. So you can actually see us in real life, social media wise. So we can't wait to see you again. Until next time, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Cold Coffee Club.
You have been listening to the Cold Coffee Club, brought to you by Houston Moms Blog. We wish you a fabulous week with your family and look forward to sharing many more cups of cold coffee with you.